Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone here. I know that it's outside is a little bit moist and maybe a little slippery coming in. There was more than a few of our children this morning that we had to call safe as they slid right in the front door running in here. But it's great to see everyone here regardless of the weather and regardless of what is going on outside. As Dick pointed out today, the sermon this morning is going to be about sacrificial living. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 13. There we're going to read a passage that will kind of start things off with, kind of the idea and the direction that I feel like God is taking us in this verse. And in that scripture, it says in verse 13 of chapter 6, "Do not offer any part of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness." Now, this idea, am I not on?
Yeah, well. Do I got to start over for the recording purposes? Okay.
All right, this idea that that God is giving us through Paul, the apostle, writing to the church at Rome there in the first century, he's saying, there is a reality of our life that we have a choice, whether or not we're going to adhere to. There's a Greek word there that the NIV committee has translated it as offer, but it's a peristemo, which is, it's, to present or to offer, to give to one for their disposal. So the idea there, God is saying, look, offer your bodies, give your life to me for my disposal, for whatever I see fit. And not only just part of it, but he says, offer every part to him as instruments of righteousness. The reality of our lives is that righteousness is God's purpose for us. There's really no other specific purpose that we can all universally agree on or come to any conclusions about our particular life outside of righteousness. The Bible tells us over and over to be holy because He is holy. It is God's will for us to be holy. Righteousness is God's purpose for each one of us. And if we're going to have the life that God wants us to live, there's a couple of things that we need to see in this verse. In this passage, God brings out three things that He wants us to see, and I'm going to go through those quickly, and then get on to the meat of what I wanted to talk about. But three things this verse tells us: first of all, God wants us to use us for His purpose. He says, "Give every part of yourself to Him for His disposal." He says, "Give for God's disposal, for my good will, for my good pleasure. Give me every part of your life." So God wants to use us for His purpose. We can be a tool in the hands of God to make a difference in the world. He says to offer or to give for His disposal our lives, every part of us, to be an instrument of righteousness. Not only so that God can make us different, so that we can affect the world. And then all of this requires sacrifice. In order to be used for His purpose in all things, we have to give of ourselves. Most people say, "I want to serve God. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I have all these plans, I have all these goals, all these ambitions. And as long as I can fit God's plan inside of what I have planned for myself and quite honestly, what I see as my talents and as what I see as my purpose, as long as it fits within that, then I'm on board with it. And I really do want to serve God." The reality is that there is no other way other than giving ourselves totally and completely to God. The reality of our lives becomes sacrificing on purpose. As I prepared this sermon, as I was thinking about it, and I got it back out and was thinking about, how do I point this out, or how do I really illustrate this? And I was, and one of the things that Dick brought up was the royal wedding. And it seems as though we are consumed with celebrity. And not just the royals, but just celebrity in general. I mean, it's not, every single show that we have on television It seems now is all about reality shows, right? I mean, it's all, you know, it's Survivor or The Apprentice or, you know, whatever. It's all about reality shows. And that was a big hit. Man, we love that. But then it wasn't good enough just to have regular people surviving. Wasn't good enough just to have regular people being apprentices. Now you've got celebrity apprentice and celebrity this and celebrity. I mean, we are consumed with the idea of celebrity and famousness. And it's just, you know, it's a big deal. We watch them and see what they're doing and so involved in their life. And on another thing that gets a lot of press, and it really should, is the concept, the idea of heroes. So we have these, you know, these two kind of roles that are being played in our society that get a lot of airtime, you know, celebrities and heroes. And with what's going on overseas and with our troops and you know, fighting for freedom and searching for the, you know, for the bad guys and finding them and eliminating those threats on our freedom, we hear a lot about this person is an American hero. And they are. And so there, you know, people are famous for a lot of different reasons. And we look up to people for celebrity reasons and for hero reasons. And then you've got the celebrities that we think are heroes, like sports people, right? And we, you know, then Charles Barkley is famous for saying, well, I'm no hero. I'm no role model. I'm just an athlete. But, you know, so we have this, you know, kind of, you know, this gray area. You know, we pay attention to both of them. They're both well known and thought of. But what's the difference? And as I was thinking about it, you know, celebrity just kind of does what they want to do and are famous for it. But a hero is somebody who sacrifices, isn't it? Somebody who gives of themselves. And then I started, well, you know, there's a lot of celebrities, whether it's a football players, take a lot of sacrifice to get where they are, right, JD? I mean, to be a big time football player, be a baseball player, you got to sacrifice. To be a musician, you have to sacrifice to be able to do what it is that you want to do. So it's not just sacrifice, it's sacrifice for others. You know, to make someone truly heroic, truly inspirational. You know, for someone to be, you know, truly looked up to and valued for who they are, not just for what they do, not just for their celebrity or their famousness or their talent or whatever. It's that, you know, a hero, someone who inspires us, someone who causes us to live out what, you know, beyond and bigger than ourselves, someone who sacrifices for others, for the good of someone else. For something bigger than themselves. And it's sacrificing on purpose. And not just sacrificing on purpose, but sacrificing with purpose. Not going without or doing without or stop doing something or going in this direction for the sake of sacrifice, but for a greater good, for the righteousness that God is calling for us. And so the question simply becomes, you know, God wants to use us for His glory. And the reality is that if we are going to be used by God, if at all we are going to be used by God, it will take sacrificing on purpose and sacrificing for purpose. You know, this morning in my Bible class in the fellowship hall, we talked about the conditions for and the consequences of salvation. And we came to the reality that they're kind of, you know, there's a lot of gray areas in there. That a lot of things that we consider qualifications or conditions of our salvation are really consequences of a reality that happened, that exists beyond our decision. You know, there's things that because we are saved by God, because we are transformed, we will do these things. And without these things, it's like the reality doesn't exist. You know, one of the ones that we didn't talk about, but we're going to later, is like evangelism. Evangelism is one of those, not a qualification of our salvation, but it's a consequence of. If we have a relationship with God, if we are in a saved relationship with God, guess what's going to naturally happen through us is evangelizing people. It's a consequence of. You can't escape it. You can't explain it away. You can't run away from it. If we are, then we will. A lot like being married, we talked about. If I'm really married, I'm really going to be married. I'm going to act married. I'm going to, you know, treat my wife as though we're married. There's things that are going to happen in my life. There's changes that are going to take place. It's going to show up.
There's a consequence for being married. Right, guys? There's consequences for being married. Well, there's consequences of our salvation. It changes us. So you can't escape it. If you can say whatever you want, if you say, I am saved, without changing life, then the I am saved part is not true. That's a writer downer. That I promise you, it's not. There's no blanks to fill in, but that's a writer down. Write that down. You can say I am saved, but if you do not have a changed heart, changed life, then it's not true. If God's going to use us for His purpose, if we want to be used, it will take sacrifice. So the question is, why? Why sacrifice for God's purpose? Why should I? Why should I sacrifice? Why should I give of myself? What, you know, why should I do this? You know, give me some good reasons why. You know, one of the things that I read a lot, and I've read C.S. Lewis, and he's one of my favorites. And a quote that comes to mind over this this question, why sacrifice for His purpose, is he says, the only thing that Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Now, just think about that for a second. The only thing that Christianity cannot be, that a relationship with Christ cannot be in your life, is sort of moderately important. It either is or it's not. It's either a defining factor or it's not. So if we are asking the questions, why sacrifice? The first thing that I want you to know, why sacrifice for God's purpose? Because God did it for us. Because God did it for you. He did it for each one of us. One of the things that we have to understand is that God initiated the reality of sacrificing. As we think about being sacrificial and living a sacrificial life, the tendency is to think material things, isn't it? It's like, what thing do I have to give up in order, you think this is a giving sermon it's really not. It's not a money sermon. Because, typically we think material, but if we're supposed to be instruments for His righteousness, that goes so far beyond material things, and it really encroaches on and starts to define spiritual things. We're talking about who we are and the way that we act and how we treat one another and what's important to us. Not necessarily materialistically, but what's important to us relationally, what's important to us spiritually. Fact is that God does not ask us for anything He has not already done. God has sacrificed. He has sacrificed feeling. He has sacrificed his own physical and spiritual reality. Genuine love, God shows us, is always sacrificial. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, it says, Christ appeared once for all to atone for or to do away with sin, offering Himself, putting up His own self, His own body, His own experience, His own mentality, His own emotions, sacrificing them for us. Christ is that sin sacrifice. Not only did He live this life sacrificing what He could have, but He sacrificed first, just to live this life. We're told, Jesus left heaven, left glory, left all of the splendor of being the King of the universe to come and to be 100% man. He says that Christ appeared once for all to do away with sin. And also in Ephesians 5 and 2, it says, be imitators of God, verse 1. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself as a fragrant offering. It says, live a life of love as Christ gave Himself a fragrant offering, sacrificing Himself for us. The fact is that we are simply following God's example. We are simply imitating what God has already done. So number two thing, why sacrifice for God's purpose? Because it was what we are made to do. Not only is it something that we're following God, it's not only something that He has done first for us, but it's because that's what we were designed to do. And life is easier when it is understood. Do you realize that? That life, the lives that we live are
easier to live. They're less frustrating. There's less angst and stress when we understand what life is all about. You know, fulfillment in life is what we all want, isn't it? We want to be fulfilled. We want to be satisfied. We want to be content. But fulfillment does not come from self-indulgence. Fulfillment comes when we understand our purpose. Have you ever tried to use something in a way that it wasn't meant to be used? I mean, and I don't want to come across chauvinistically or anything like that. But ladies, have you ever hung a picture and drove a nail with a high heel or a pot, something like that? You ever opened up tried to pry something open with a butter knife? And have it just bend or crack or break or you're trying to drive a nail with your shoe or something like that. Guys, how frustrating is it to be doing something and not have the right tool in your hand and you just try to kind of go with it? You just sort of try to do what you can with what you got. I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice. I mean, you broke down on the side of the road. I promise you, I have made a fuel pump out of a thermos and some old radiator tubing. Okay, fuel pump went out on a car, and we ran it all the way through, and we sit there and make a suction, push it into the carburetor. And it would run a little bit longer because we're broke down. That's all we had. You know, poke a couple holes in that thermos, and there you go. Run it through. I mean, you know, you look like you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, but when you're trying to do something with, and you got a tool that's not really designed for that, don't you realize some frustration there? And it's not going the way that I want it to go. I can do so much better if I just had the right thing at the right time. You see, when we start to understand our purpose and what we were made for, you see in Ephesians chapter 2 and 10, it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ, to do good things that He has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, what does that mean for us to be God's workmanship created in Christ, made, remade, reborn in Christ? He doesn't just say we were God's workmen created to do good things. He says we are God's workmen created in Christ to do good works prepared in advance. See, because of the example that Christ has set, because of the reality that He has secured, He has remade us for a new purpose. He's given us a new direction. And so our purpose is no longer to satisfy myself and to go whatever direction I want to go and to do whatever it is that I find necessary to do. My new purpose in Christ. Now see, there's the catch, right? It's the in Christ part. So you got to be in Christ to have a new purpose. And I'll be honest with you. It's at this point in my life, I just realized and I do no favors by, you know, dancing around the issue and candy coating it and making it sound like it's not. And for right now, I just want to say, you know, if your purpose isn't to serve and to please God in all things, then maybe we need to decide, am I in Christ or am I not? I mean, am I in Christ or am I not? I might have said some words in front of some people and gotten in a tub of water, but did I really die and was I buried and did I raise again? Because if my purpose in this life is not to please God and to be an instrument of righteousness, if I have any selfish ambition at all, then I'm not created in Christ. The Bible says so. At some point in our life, that meant something, didn't it? Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. See, at some point in our life, that meant something. The Bible says that if we're created in Christ, then our life will be for His purpose. See, that's what we're made to do, to please God. And in Matthew 10 and 39, He says, look, anyone who would lose this life, anyone who will find this life will lose it. Anyone who will lose this life for my sake will find it. You know, I love that verse because, you know, how do you on purpose lose something? I've lost a lot of stuff. I lose things every day. You know, I do. Where are my keys? Where's my wallet? Where's my watch? I never do any of it on purpose. But somehow there's this idea of on purpose losing something and finding it. And finding something and losing it. And the reality, we have to ask our question, do we really trust God with this life? He says, anyone who will on purpose lose, find this. And whatever you find, isn't that typically what you're looking for? I mean, if you find something, I mean, your Bible say anyone who finds this life will lose it. So if we're looking for something, we're going to, and we find it. I mean, I've never found anything I wasn't looking for. I come across stuff, but you know what? Oh, I don't know that. I just put it right back down and keep on going for what I'm looking for. See, what we look for, what our attention is focused on, that's what this passage is talking about. What's your attention focused on? What's important to you? Because when I'm looking for something, everything else I come across, unimportant. Looking for my keys. Oh, found my pocket knife. Looking for my keys. Oh, found a flashlight. Looking for my keys. Found a pen. All the other things, because what I'm looking for is what's important to me. That's what I'm focused on. And guess what I ask everyone about? You seen my keys? Seen my keys? Where's my keys? That's what my vocabulary is all about, what I'm looking for. My conversation's all about what I'm looking for. Jesus says, look, if right now, if this life is what you're, guess what? It's going to be taken away because it won't last. But if you lose this life, if you on purpose focus on something else, and I'm just so unconcerned with it, then guess what? I'm going to give you life. Says, because if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Well, the reality is you can't find something you're not looking for. So what Jesus is saying is what he says in Matthew chapter 5, when the meek will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit. That's a verse right there, the meek, because you'll have life given to you. That's what he's saying. You'll have life given to you at that point. Do we trust God with this life too? Last thing, why sacrifice? Because God will reward you. Because there is a reward. In Hebrews 6 and 10, God is not unjust. He will see your work. He will see it. He'll see your work. He'll see your love. He'll see all those things. And God is not unjust, it says. And God will reward you. One of the things that frustrates me as I talk to people, and especially, and this shows up more with men, and as I counsel marriages, And people just seem, one of the angst that we have is we feel unappreciated. And what happens when you feel unappreciated? Well, you stop doing whatever it is that they ought to be appreciating. I was talking to one guy and we were talking about frustrations and this, that, and the other. And I used this example. I said, I do a couple things around it. One thing in particular that I really honestly don't care about. It is very important for my wife that the bed be made every day. Just is. I do not care. I'm just going to get back in it in about 20 hours. Why make it up? But that's what she likes. So now she works in the morning, gets up way earlier than I do, 3 days a week, and goes to Shelbyville and does nursing. And so I get up, and whether or not the bed gets made is up to me. But I know before she gets home, bed's going to be made. Sometimes she gets home about 7:30. Sometimes 7:25, I'm rushing in there making the bed up. But don't tell her that. It's just between us, right? I was talking to this guy, and he says, you know what? My wife, she wants the bed made too. And when she goes to work, and I get up and I make the bed. And a lot of times she doesn't say thank you. She doesn't preach, so I'll make it a couple of times, but you know what? If she doesn't tell me thank you, if she doesn't acknowledge that, doesn't appreciate it, well, then I'll just stop. And he felt real good about that. That seemed logical to him. I'll just stop doing it. That'll show her. I said, yeah, how's that working out for you? You're in my office, aren't you? Not so good. I'll show her, if I'm not appreciated, I'm not going to do it. And how many times, and I tell my kids this, I'll do something, I'll say, hey, can I get a thank you? We do that, and I'm not saying you don't ever have to say thank you, but I don't do it for the thank you. I do it because my life is about something else besides me. But if we have to be thanked, if we have to be appreciated, then maybe our life isn't about something else. Maybe it is about us. But the reality is that God will reward you. It might not feel like it now, but God will reward you. The question becomes, is his reward good enough? Is God's reward what we want? In Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and following, Jesus kind of gives us an example. You know, he kind of gives us a little bit of an encouragement in this. He says, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. He says, look, God will reward you. But did you hear what that verse started out with? See, we love that part where it says God will give us. We love the 100-fold part, don't we? 100 times as much as that. We love that part. It's our favorite part of that scripture. But it starts out, you got to lose. Got to give up. God's got to be more important than anything. God's got to be more important than my standing in the community. God's got to be more important than my bank account. God's got to be more important than everything else in life. His purpose and his purpose alone. And then whatever it is that you choose to reward me with, God, that's good. See, no one can tell you how good dessert is. You just have to eat it and find out. See, what Jesus is saying is that you can't be told about the goodness of God. You can't be told about how fulfilling being part of God's purpose is. You can't be told, you know, that, man, I'm telling you, this is a good thing. You just have to give up this life and experience it. So you just have to give up this life and find out. See, I can say all day long, sacrifice for the Lord, and boy, your life will be this. Sacrifice, give up all the things that you're worried about, give them up to God and it'll be fine. I can tell you that, but until you just experience it, until you eat it, you'll never know. He says, look, you got to give up something first. And you know, material things, physical things, more than likely it's spiritual, it's sin. It's, you know, when I give up the things that so easily entangle me, I will never experience it until I do. Well, the sermon is yours at this point, and I hope that that God has blessed you today. The question will become is, will we trust God? Will we give up the things that weigh us down in order to experience the life that he has planned? Will we follow his example? Will we follow the example of sacrificing what is rightfully his in order for us? And will we accept his purpose, his righteousness for our life? And will we, in fact, be rewarded? Will we be rewarded with the life he has planned for us now and the life that he has planned for us later? The question is that. The decision is yours. If you have any needs, if you want to express those, if there's anything on your heart that you need prayed with or prayed about, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.